New Hampshire lawmakers are looking at eliminating mandatory minimum sentences for certain crimes. It's part of a national movement to repeal these laws after federal-level research showed they do not improve public safety and disproportionately incarcerate people of color. Here, the New Hampshire House has passed a slimmed-down version of the bill, and HBR's Emily Corwin reports the Senate will vote next.
In New Hampshire, the crimes that land you in prison for the rest of your life are pretty much only rape and murder. Burglary, with a record, you might get 15 years, unless you're Kevin Bulch.
This case absolutely stands out as, in my opinion, one of the most unfair and unjust sentences ever.
Len Harden was Bulch's trial attorney. He says Bulch had a record of break-ins after burgling a home in 2012 and taking six guns. A Grafton County prosecutor charged him as an armed career criminal. And she charged each gun as a separate offense. Because the legislature had passed a mandatory minimum of 10 years for each offense, 33-year-old Bulch ended up with 60 years in prison. Harden says
a young man was sentenced to serve essentially a life sentence for committing burglaries without any violence to any person or even injuring anybody.
The legislature's mandatory minimum sentencing laws meant the judge's hands were tied. The state Supreme Court upheld Bulch's 60-year sentence. But in their decision, the judges wrote, "We invite the legislature to re-examine the severe penalties that are a result of this mandatory minimum." And that is just what the legislature is doing. In a Senate Judiciary hearing on Tuesday, co-sponsor Rennie Cushing told the committee,
"What we are wanting to do is to return judicial discretion to a judge."
Since the 1980s, lawmakers have put 30 mandatory minimum sentences on the books in New Hampshire. This bill would eliminate three. Minimums for armed career criminals like Bulch, though those cases are rare. Also for habitual driving offenders and people who drive without a license, both of which are far more common. An earlier version of this bill eliminated all mandatory minimums, including drug offenses and DUIs. One committee member asked Cushing, if mandatory minimums don't work, why not do away with them all? His response, political expedience.
It's just some of the crimes that we opted not to remove are, quite frankly, high-profile, hot-button issues. You notice that we did not deal with any issues that related to sex offenders, drug dealing.
This bill is backed by both Republicans and Democrats. It's endorsed by the ACLU, the state's defense attorney's lobby, as well as by the majority of people on a statewide criminal and juvenile justice council. But Hillsborough County Attorney Dennis Hogan says he sees nothing wrong with the law as it is. He says mandatory minimums, especially for driving offenses, have a deterrent effect for offenders.
Being able to see that whole scheme and say to themselves, oh boy, I did it once, look what's coming to me if I do it again.
But attorneys on the other side say these hard and fast sentences don't take into consideration an individual's life story. Bulch's original attorney, Len Harden, says he sees habitual offenders facing mandatory one-year jail terms all the time.
I have a client who was certified as a habitual offender because she had a prior DWI. She had a couple of operating after suspension charges.
As Harden tells it, the woman lives in the North Country, where there's little public transportation. There, she supports a daughter who has disabilities, so she drove to work. One day, a delivery truck backed into her parked car. The police were called, they ran her plates, and she was looking at a year in jail. But
in that case, the police prosecutor certainly took mercy on her and agreed not to bring it as a felony.
Of course, Kevin Bulch, with his 60-year sentence, his prosecutor didn't reduce his charges. And supporters of the bill say it shouldn't be up to prosecutors to decide defendants' sentences. It's judges, after all, who are appointed for their impartiality and discretion. In the meantime, Governor Maggie Hassan has not said whether she will veto the bill. For now, it's in the hands of the Senate. For NHPR News, I'm Emily Corwin.